Good morning. Good seeing you. I see people are gone. 4th of July weekend and enjoying the summer weather. I don't blame them. Our winters are long and cruddy. By the end of January, I'm ready to run into people, run people over, growl at people, snarl at people. So it's a good time to get away and enjoy yourselves. I think most of you might have known that we were in South America the last couple weeks. Donna and I and my granddaughter Katie, first time she's been to South America to see where her dad came from. Her dad was along. And interesting, I'm not too sure Katie was very impressed, but it was an interesting eye-opener for her. we spent 5 days of that 12 with our home Colombian assembly. That's what we call an assembly in Bucaramanga, our home assembly in Colombia. And it was a good time. We stayed with the Colombian family, and we had excellent time of fellowship. We watched, of course, the World Cup. And they're as crazy as we are here in Wisconsin. Why, in a big game, we wear our Packer shirts and our Packer paraphernalia. We'll try to imagine a whole country. Every nook and cranny, every little town, every little place you can think of. Everybody's got a Colombian shirt. I had one and a hat. And we watched Colombia play a big game. They won. And it's much like us, laying on the floor, slouching on the couch, the lady serving potato chip, popcorn, soda, stuff to drink, and of course, they were serving me tinto. And that is something that I laid the law down. As long as I'm here, I need tinto. So it was nice. At the same time, there are difficulties. I want to share this with you. I want you to open to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, the last verses, 11 through 14. I spoke at the Bucaramanga Assembly 2 Sundays ago, using Michael as a translator. My Spanish is not really that good, but it's kind of funny when we do that, because there are some words, some vocabulary that Mike doesn't know, and in the midst of him trying to translate, I tell him what the word is in Spanish. Everybody gets a kick out of that. But Mike and I are getting more synchronized in doing this. Anyway, I spoke on this portion 2 weeks ago in Bucaramanga. I chose this for a very specific reason, and I will tell you about it. Allow me to tell you about what is going on, and I will give you this sermon and show you the tie-in. The chapel has been having problems. I think I mentioned that to you 2 years ago, August, we were there. And I might have mentioned to you when we came home, for the past 14 years, they've been going through some ups and downs. Now, a couple of men spoke to me. One of them, Fernando San Miguel, spoke to me. When Fernando was a young man growing up, he was the black sheep in the family, a rebellious guy who didn't want to cooperate with anything, but his dad taught him the business. They're a construction worker. And Fernando is a very tender man. As he told me the story, Fernando shed some tears along the way and was very shaken up by all that had been taking place. And then I spoke with another man, Ronaldo, in my favorite coffee hangout, Berna. And we went downtown, and it hasn't changed much. And we sat up on a second floor and had tinto and talked. And he told me similar things. And it's disturbing. Now here's what's happened. And I'll tell you just briefly. You have to pray. You have to put that chapel down on your prayer list. We have to put it down Wednesday night. Men came in from another part of the country. Now, if you don't know anything about the assembly history, if you don't know anything about it, you may not understand what I'm saying. But going way back, there were problems and there was a split. It was difficult. And the one group believed that they were correct and said the other group was out of fellowship. Now, try to figure this out. With the body of Christ on earth. I'm not sure I got all that. And I've read the history more than once. And as I read it, it's disgusting, to be honest with you. Well, some men came in from another part of the country from that group. I want to be careful how I say this, but they have a tendency when they come in somewhere to come in to fellowship and start picking the place apart. And they're usually very talented, gifted men. That happened here in Wisconsin 3 years ago. And the elders invited me to help them out. It's messy. And it hurts people. And it ruins lives. And it makes people want to turn away. And these men came in and took over. They don't believe in elders, but they believe in leaders. Now, well, you'll work on that too. And these men came in with strong dictatorial leadership tendencies. Little by little by little. They started influencing the whole place. Until now, they're saying, if anybody celebrates Christmas, you're out of fellowship. That is none of their business. See? None of their business. And this year, no celebrating Easter. Well, what's happened now is that they have there's a family that, well, the family we stayed with, and this family has been there from the beginning, and this family has opposed them in certain issues. And those leaders, particularly one man, has told his family, it would be best for you to leave, get out of here, so we can have peace, which means so we can keep doing what we want to do. When Dick and I left, it was the elders, it was going well. Ferdinando, while he was sitting there weeping, said, all we wanted, and this is a compliment, all we want to do is get back to those days where you and Dick taught the basic, solid things of assembly life and worship and fellowship and outreach. We miss them. And we don't have them. Well, that was a compliment for an old codger like me. A real compliment. It made me want to cry. So, these groups feel that their responsibility when they go somewhere is to straighten things out. And as I said, it's a long story to tell. Now, there's been a suggestion. After Dick and I left Bucaramanga, and Dick left in 84. another one of our missionaries came in to help. A good man, a godly man, a dedicated man, and a man we love very dearly. And he came in to help. But in the time he was helping, a few mistakes were made that now had brought the assembly to the place where they don't even know how to choose elders. And they have these leaders. And when a man's in power, he isn't going to give it up. These leaders don't want elders. Why? Because they're in power. Why should they teach about elders to a new generation and have elders and then relinquish their power? It was really sad. There had been some suggestion that Dick and I and the other missionary, I won't mention his name, because it may sound like slander, and it's not. But that Dick and I and this man go back for a couple of months and straighten things out. The reason Dick and I should go back is because we're founders. When you leave an assembly after you find it and get it going, and you leave and move on, you no longer have authority over those people. You cannot go in and dictate to them what they must do. They are an autonomous local church. And they're to function that way. At the same time, there are people there who respect us, and I suppose we could go back and clean house. The more I think about it, I don't want to go. Dick is in New Zealand, retired, and he's all perplexed also. He doesn't want to go, but the other man wants to go. But here's the thing. If the other man goes and we sit down with these people and have it out, that other missionary is going to be in trouble. Because a number of people there thought he favored a couple of families. And he did. Now, Dick and I won't be in problems, but I don't think this man understands what can happen. All right, that's about the size of it. We left there, and obviously I was greatly upset, wondering what to do. Each time I've been there, they want me or they want Dick to take a hold of things and clean house. Can't do that. So I want you to pray. Now, the reason I chose these verses, let's read these verses. Now, I'm reading from New King James, and I'm going to give you some different translations. Verse 11, chapter 13, 2 Corinthians. Finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the love of God and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen. Now I'm reading from the New King James. Nevertheless, here are some translations, and I'll explain this to you in a minute. The Net Bible, put out by Dallas Seminary, says, rejoice and set things right instead of farewell. The NIV Donald Farwell says, rejoice, strive for full restoration. All right. The Revised Version says, Farwell. Darby, in his translation, says, for the rest, rejoice. A number of other translations take the word farewell, say rejoice. Now the reason for that is because the word farewell is the same word that is used for rejoice. And often the word farewell was used in a way of be happy, rejoice. And for example, in Philippians 4:4, I read a verse that says, rejoice in the Lord again. I say rejoice. Same word, farewell. And so many of the commentaries and many of the translations put the word rejoice in. It would seem to me to be a good choice because of the context. And I do like Darby's translation, for the rest, rejoice. And I like the ESV, the English Standard Version, that says rejoice, aim at restoration. And another one I forgot to write down, rejoice and mend your ways. All right, now, I'll put this aside here. I've got so many notes, I don't want to get all messed up here. As Paul writes the end of this letter, it's important to go back and understand what's taken place. It's a long, long story. You read 1 Corinthians, and you'll see that 1 Corinthians is filled with problems, and Paul is not at all satisfied with the church he founded. There are powerful men in the church. They are neglecting certain basic things, including things in morality, and Paul is trying to straighten them out. And it's dirty work, messy. And when you go through it, you cannot come out of it feeling whole or clean. You come out of it feeling lousy. That's part of the life of a missionary. Now, if you go back to 1 Corinthians and you read it yourself, you'll find that there are two things. One, there was a personal report given to Paul, chapter 1, verse 11, by a certain household. They must have seen Paul, and when Paul said, how are things going, they said, it's a shambles. It's awful. So there was word. And then Paul says in chapter 7, verse 1, now, concerning the things you wrote to me about. And he repeats that statement about five times. Now concerning. He also received a letter. The letter was filled with questions. What about this? What about that? What are we going to do about the Lord's Supper? What are we going to do about this person? What are we going to do about this moral problem? So Paul wrote 1 Corinthians. I'm going to use an old saying from my day. It went over like a lead balloon. And Paul, who had been there and took a trip, hightailed it out of Corinth. And he went over to Ephesus for a while. He sent Timothy. Well, Timothy is his best man. and work. But Timothy's a little thin-skinned, a little too emotional. And Timothy came back to Paul feeling wounded. So Paul got his gunslinger. You know what I'm talking about? Titus. He's what I call Paul's gunslinger. Titus strapped him on and loaded him up, and he went back. And Titus always seems to have that ability to get into the mess of things. Well, Paul was incredibly anxious to hear how things were going. He made arrangements to meet Titus on the Roman freeway, Roman highway going through Troas. And Paul was very impatient. You get impatient?
Whoa.
And Paul was nervous. Something else. If you look at some of the words in 2 Corinthians, you will find that Paul was depressed. Now, I know, Christians don't get depressed. No. Yeah. We'll leave it go. He was depressed. In fact, in chapter 4, he said, we do not lose heart. And then in chapter 4:16, he says, we do not lose heart. And in between those verses, 1 and 16, he gives a list of things that can really, really cause you problems. So he ran up the Roman road to Troas. And believe it or not, when he got to Troas, he says, the door was opened to me of the Lord. He started the church. Now, usually when you start a church, you hang around. You know what Paul did? He couldn't wait for Titus. He was so nervous he couldn't wait. And he took off up the road to meet Titus. Missionaries and apostles are people. He met Titus. And Titus said, things are pretty good. There's a group there. I'm ad-libbing. There's a group there that is creating problems. They are criticizing you. They are lying about you. They are causing problems. That's one reason why the people are not completely healed of their problems. If you read 2 Corinthians, you will know it's a letter of defense. That's what it is. In the first chapter, he mentioned that they called him a liar. They said he doesn't keep his word. They said this, they said that. And Paul defended himself, and he rarely did that. 2 Corinthians is a letter of defense of his apostleship, his authority. He even goes so far to say to the Corinthians, don't you remember when I came in and you received the gospel and you received me, and now you're asking me to prove to you again that I'm an apostle? Uh-uh. Ain't going to be. You saw the wonders. You saw the miracles. You saw what I did. And I'm not going to come back and dazzle you again. It's your problem. Not me, not mine. That's all in 2 Corinthians. That's why 2 Corinthians is my favorite book. When I am dealing with young men who want to go to the mission field, Dan Keller, Jeremy and Sonia, that is my primary book of study with them regarding life on the mission field. It ought to be studied in every Bible school, not just academically, but how to live on the mission field and what it's like. So, that church had an incredible amount of problems. I mean, it was big time. And Paul stayed away. Now, Paul's an apostle coming in to a miracle, and everybody will believe you. No, Paul stayed away. He sent them a short letter. It's very possible that Paul sent four letters to Corinth. Two we have, two are lost. Short letters. That church was in a bad mood and in bad shape. And Paul was afraid the church would be lost. He even went so far as to say that our work would be in vain. Now, mind you, when he says that, he is not saying that if it's in vain, my work was useless. No, because God keeps track of what we do. It's terrible to see something fall apart. I've seen it in Bogota, the first one we started. It breaks your heart. And this was too much for me to take. And Dick in New Zealand, it's too much for him to take. The other missionary went to rush over there with the three of us and start cleaning house. Fools rush in where wise men fear to go. Now, Paul has gone through this book and he has written a defense of himself. He has criticized these men who had power and think everybody else should obey them. And he writes this letter, and he sends it. And it helped. As he closes this letter, it may seem a formality. You might read these words and it might just seem like a formality. No. As you read these, there are different tenses in the Greek. And everything he says here, rejoice, be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace. Every one of these is what we call in the original language, an imperative, which means there are five commands. And he is saying to these people, this is what you have to do. Now, when I spoke on this a few weeks ago, my knees were knocking. And from what I can make out, it went over very well. Of course, everybody knew I was going to be getting on the airplane, getting out of town soon anyway, so it's a different. Yeah. There are things that are important. The first word he talks about here is farewell. I said it, same word as rejoice. And many times it's used for rejoice. The word farewell contains that. And we will go along with this. Right. we will go along with this, the idea. It's found in Philippians. It's found on a number of occasions here in 2 Corinthians, the Greek word. And 2 Corinthians, Paul has about 6 references. I don't have time to go over them. Where he used the word rejoice, it's the same word. I asked a question to the people in Bucaramanga. Do you have joy? I looked at one of the troublemakers. Not long. Do you have joy? And he looked at the floor. No joy. When a brother sits before you and cries and says, if we could just have those simple days where we knew what we were doing and we were one in Christ, enjoying and witnessing and growing. Now it's complicated. No Christmas, no Easter. Who gives a leader a right to say that? Nonsense. At least for my part. Now, there may be some of you have convictions about that, and it is not my goal to make you feel you're wrong. It is imposing it on others that is wrong, not having a personal conviction. So, Paul says, as he closes this, now, I want you to see how gentle this is. I want you to see that after all of the trauma of the first letter and the second letter, Paul finishes, instead of lambasting them, he uses some ideas that are very, very good, gentle, and he's going to talk about the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit. So, the idea then, the word where it says farewell, some say, finally, brethren, farewell. Darby says it for the rest, rejoice. And the idea is they're not rejoicing. They're not rejoicing in the things of the Lord. Oh, what a shame. Now, I want you to understand, it's not so much that because Dick and I started it, we don't want to lose our glory and we don't want to lose our crown. No, you don't lose that. If you've done it for Christ, you don't lose it. So we're not worried about going to heaven and God saying, well, you lost your crown, you lost your glory. No. You just spent so many years working with these people. All right. So he says, be complete. Now, the word be complete is often translated in other ways, and I like the translations. Here, one of the translations says, and I like this, mend your ways. Accept encouragement. Be of one mind, live in peace. Mend your ways. If you're going to grow in Christ, if you're going to mature in Christ, there are some things that have to change in all of our lives. Mend your ways. I like that. I kind of like that. Because it has this idea, it's a command. Become complete. One translation says, restore yourself to your original life. So, it is mend your ways. Be complete. Now, in the language, original language, it is not talking about individuals. It is talking about the group. He is not saying, Dan, mend your ways, and Kirsten, mend your ways, and mend your ways. He is saying, as a group, mend your ways. And if there is no joy, and if people are all the places all torn apart, there is no life. And we need life. So, mend your ways together, not just as individuals. The English Standard Version says, aim, all right, at restoration. Okay. And mend your ways. Well, to do that, mending your ways isn't easy. It's going to take people there sitting down and talking to one another. That's why they want us to come down for 2 months. I don't want to go. First of all, I'm too stinking old. Airplane travel and the bumpy roads and the greasy food and all this stuff and the hard beds and the dirty water. But anyway, I wanted to come and do that. I think when I was down to this last 12 days, I got a couple more gallstones in my gravel pit in my gall. I'm sorry, Eileen. I can't hear and I'll talk to you later. Please forgive me. So, they are to do it together. Next one, be of good comfort. It says this. It says, accept encouragement is a translation of the Greek verb, whatever it is. And it's a command that be consoled by the promises of the gospel. A commentarist that I've read many times, and I don't know who he is, but he's quoted by everybody. His name is Rosenmuller. He said, the translation means receive admonition from all with a grateful mind that you may become in unity. All right. So be of good comfort. Accept what people have to say. Let others minister to you. These guys who took over won't let anybody minister to them. They believe they're so right and we're so wrong that the only hope for the open assemblies is to come over to their side. And we'll listen. So, accept encouragement. And it's a present tense. And it's an imperative, and so it means to command. Can you get together and sit down and talk? Now you see, if we go back, the three of us, I think Dick and I won't be in much trouble. We've been gone for so long. But the other missionary who came in after we did started to favor one side, and I think if we sit down and talk, they're going to gang up on him. And I don't want to see that. It'll break his heart. It'll break his heart. They'll gang up on him. And I think Dick and I will just be helpless best to go to bed enough for some tinto. And have a bizcocho. Bizcocho's bakery. All right. Now, I move on here. So, Paul says, be of good comfort. The next thing he says is, be of one mind. A call to unity. Now, this occurs in other books, other epistles, and you'd have to look it up, but be of one mind. Paul says in Philippians 4:2 that he entreats Euodia and Syntyche and Philippi to live in harmony, be of one mind. Now, he doesn't mean to be of one mind that we all agree on every little point. You know what that does? That wearies us. That makes going home, oh man. You are one mind about getting things right. You are, I'm sorry. You are one mind about being unity. All right, now I'm going to move on because it's 12:30 and I told you last time I'll be dragged across the street like Mussolini hung upside down and let the buzzard pick my body clean. I won't tell you who said that, but we'll try to get this baby done. It's a joke, by the way. Nobody said that. All right. The next thing is they're called to cooperation. Live in peace. And that, again, is present tense. And that, again, is an imperative. Be mindful of the dissension in the church. And live in peace. Peace that comes from God. And it is peace that blesses the church. They're called to cooperation. Our outward life should be in peace. I'll tell you, when that assembly understood the basics and the truth of the New Testament principles and doctrine and had elders, all they wanted to do was reach out. And they had potlucks and get together. Reach out, take the gospel out. Now their big argument is, can we celebrate Christmas and Easter? Forgive me. You can... In some ways, my dear friends, I'm really upset. Wow. Really upset. All right. So there are these five imperatives. And anger and bitterness will only break the power of unity. And God's love draws us together. So this ending, benediction, so to speak, is not just a normal closing. Oh, no. No, no. Both letters are in mind. And it is very, very interesting. Okay, let's look at this. All right. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And what does it say? And the love and the God of love and peace will be with you. Live in peace. Now, God's always with us. We're His children. Even when I sin, the Holy Spirit's in me. But what is the Holy Spirit doing in me when I sin? He's trying to bring me back to the place I was before. It is grieving the Holy Spirit. But he doesn't leave. And the Lord Jesus Christ is in that assembly. But see what he says? Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. In other words, that assembly will experience the peace of God. And, wow. It's a mess. I don't know how some of this happened. But now there's a committee of elders. Permit me. There's a committee of elders from another part that feel it's their duty to go around and straighten out what is happening in all the assemblies. They just come in. Nobody invites them. And it seems strange to me that when they come in, they're always on one side. I know every one of those men. I can't figure out how they got that idea. They were in my Bible school class in the late 70s. Where did they get that from? And they're creating problems. All right, enough of that. Just to let you know that and peace of God will be with us. Greet one another with a holy kiss. If you know South America and you know other countries, you realize it's just kind of a brushing your lips against somebody's cheek, but it's a sign of love. One translation, Phillips, who probably figures it would be awkward in our time, says, give him the right hand to fellowship. See, that's all right. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Notice the order of the Trinity here. Usually it's God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But here he says the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God. He's not changing any order in the Trinity, but he has an idea. You see, it's Jesus Christ who came into the world to die for his sin, and his grace and his love on the cross is what does this, and he came in because of the love of God. God's love sent him. And we've experienced his grace and the communion of the Holy Spirit. Oh, the time we were in Bucaramanga was a nice time, enjoying friends, watching the World Cup. Colombia doesn't have midfielders. They got to add it next time. But listening to the problems and watching the problems and watching people that Sunday morning, some people ignoring one another, walking around one another, some people avoiding me like the plague. Why avoid me? I'm nothing. I never have been. Well, the closing of 2 Corinthians is more than just a goodbye. It is Paul telling these people, here are five things you must do. Five commands. You do that, and there will be peace in the assembly. Thank you, Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's hard for us to believe that you loved us so that you sent your Son that the world could see and know your love. And we have been partakers of that. Each one of us, sometime, somewhere, received Christ as our Savior and have been brought into eternal life. I pray for the group in Bucaramanga this morning. I ask you to help them. Give those who are brokenhearted patience and keep them from anger. Give the other man ability to listen. And help Dick and myself and the other missionary as we pray about going back for 2 months to understand what you want us to do. We don't want to rush in, Father, and become haughty and foolish. If it is not your will, we go. We are willing to stay home, and we will pray for that assembly. I pray this in Jesus' name.